Okay, we continue. Shara Yichud, Daf Samachay. Bachamishi, in the fifth point of argument of the proof of the oneness of Hashem. Mitzat inyan ribu ha'achdus. If we explain the topics of multitudes and singular, b'hu Shaklidas, Godar ha'achdus, the Sifre of Omar, Klidas was one of the philosophers, which he explained in his book, The Inyan of Ardus, Ki Ardus HaShubay Yom HaLachol Dover Echad. Anything which is being mentioned and called one, right, Salimer, means to say, Ki Ardus Kodemus LeEchad V'Tiba. Unity is an advanced being before you call him one. For instance, Kashem Maimer Azizu say, Ki Achoyim Kodem HaKol Dover Cham. Heat is in advance before anything hot. If you want to see the coffee is hot, you can't say the coffee is hot unless such a thing as heat exists. So the fact of heat must be there before you use it in a term to say that this thing is hot. If there wouldn't have been heat, coffee couldn't be hot. Okay, that's it. If you say this is one, there must be before you say this is one, there's something like unity. There must be, just like I said, just before you were capable of saying this coffee is hot, there must be such a thing as heat. So before you say on something this is one, there must be something which is unity. Who is that something? That's what he. Ki achdus kodemes le'echad b'tiva. The fact there's such a thing as unity must be before you say something is one. Kashen Noimer, as we will say, Kachoyim, the heat, Koidem, must be there in advance, L'chol Dovacham, before anything is hot. But Luga Achdus, if there wouldn't be such a thing as unity, Lo Yenemer, Dovacham, Dovacham, Echad, you could never call something one. If there's no such thing as unity, then nothing could be one. V'yin Hashem, Nachum Tzrichim, Naharos, Artenim, and Achdus, what we have to understand, what Achdus, unity means, Yechidus Gemura, absolute unity, V'didus, singular, there's ein imo chibur. It's a unity which has nothing connected to it, nothing combined in it. V'adima, no comparison b'shum inyan. Unity means absolute one without depending in any ingredients which has to be combined with it or compared with it.
So it is that you need it, what I understand is that you need to be able to compare to a basis to describe this thing. In other words, as I say, you need a pre-existing one in order to say that this thing is one.
Not only pre-existing one. There's no pre-existing
one.
This one.
One tape recorder. So, in other words, how do you have a concept of one because it exists previously?
Because there is a concept of something which is one. If there wouldn't be a concept, so what is the essence of this concept as one that you could use it as one?
Mm-hmm.
What is the concept of it? The concept
that
is that. So what is the original unity? What is the ingredients of one that justifies to say call it one? So the ingredients of hot coffee, what makes hot coffee hot? Because the ingredients of hot is heat, and there exists such a thing as heat. The heat could be in anything, in anywhere. So you bring down the heat into coffee, and it becomes a hot coffee. So the ingredients of hot is heat. What is the ingredients of one? The ingredients of one is the pre-existing unity. Now, what is the essence of pre-existing unity? The essence of existence, that is, unity means it is independent one, not depending on any combination, on any help, on any comparison. He's one for himself, one. It's not one comparable, one out of two, one out of three. Then this ingredient is not really in the one. It's rather realization is different than two, this means a one which is incomparable one. It's not the one in essence, it's and because it's comparable to something else. Number two, which we have to say, one is something which is in all aspects is one. It's not 10 components united makes them one. Like I said, a car is not one car. A car is combined of 500 parts, and that makes a one car. But it's not one car as one. If all the components would be the same, all the components would be one, all the qualities would be all one, then it's one. So the essence of unity is It's no combination. It does not tolerate that it has to be combined of two elements, of three elements. Because the minute it's a combination of multiple elements, it's not one. It's not unity. That's the quality of one. So now what we have, if we have this concept, there exists such a thing, which is absolute one in all parts, in all areas. This is the essence of unity. Now, based on that, you could call this is one. That's the... Now, the only one who is in this... this is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because the only Kodesh Baruch Hu is the power and the force which is not put together from various elements, is not depending of any combination. That's it. There's no multiples. That one is not connected to anything. It has been not separated from anything. Because if it has, if it's spin off of some other thing, it's not an independent yon. The Inyan Haribu, what is now multiples, said Aklidas, he klal achodim. That's a really combination of many ones. What is, there is such a thing as one, absolute one. And what is multiples? If you take 10 pieces of one, they become ribui, they become multiples. No way could be multiples before the one. They go back for what makes multiples? See, let's make argument, we're going to use this one book. Let's call one. So, if there's one book is now the beginning of creating multiple books. It's three like that, we can many books. But there's no question, there can never be many before one. There couldn't be multiple, not multiples are creating one, but one are creating multiples. Now, if the one is a combination of various parts, let's just say, one card is put together from 300 parts, their multiples are building one. That's not really one. It's a combination of 300 things together. But before you say 300, it must be, how come they're 300? Because they're 300 ones, which everyone is an independent one in himself. A one which is not bound, not committed to be connected to something else. The multiples is the principle of one. The law talking is not possible. There should be multiple before ones. Now, this is all logic which you talk now. Now we go. If we do find in our intellect, we do find in our feelings, we have relate to multiples. We know every time when we relate to anything which is multiple, we definitely are convinced that the singular, the one, advanced this multiple, just like he advanced one before the multiple numbers. Obviously, we do see multiples. There must be a previous requisite of one. If not, there couldn't be multiples. It's me, Shiachshav. Anyone would think about the Yosem Echot. If anyone would think there is more than one creator, there's more than one God, but there must be one which is even preceded them. And this one is Hashem. As you say, one is always before. Now we have to come to the conclusion and to the agreement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Boire, is one. Kadmon, Ein Kadmon, he's the beginner. Ein Kadmon, there's nobody before him. Moshe Melefona, no Noitzar El, nobody before me, nobody, there was no God, V'achra Eloyen, after me there wouldn't be. In other words, what we use in this argument, since we all are in logical agreement that only one builds multiples, and not multiples big one, so how could there be a Havamina that there is more than one God? So you make a multiple. If there's multiple, there's two gods. So things can't start with multiples. There must be a previous one. And that previous one is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Shem Echad. Kadma Lekol Rishon. He's the beginner of all beginners, of all Rishon, of all. He is the absolute one. Yes, and from there on, Kodesh Baruch Hu created multiple forces. Now, came the Goyim later, and they credited the multiple forces into multiple gods, and they started worshipping the forces instead of worshipping the power from where the forces are coming from, Hashem Echad. Where this is our fundamental principle, believe that we only pray direct to the original one, where all the koyach is coming from that one. We never worship, we never respect any of all the forces which came, because also all the forces is one. If Hashem's got Elohai Elohim, is the God of gods, is there any other God? Obviously, the other gods are powers, are forces, which the Goyim are respecting and worshipping. And we go immediately to the source where they all become. Vashishi. And the sixth argument is Mitzat Mikrim Hadveikim El Kol Misrab. Every mikre, every existence, and every being is attached as Kol Misrab of anything which multiplies. Usharibu Vaklol Mikre Nichnas El Etzem Vakamus. Who is born a chaboyre heetzer v'amikre v'lo yisasigeno midu mimidoisim v'etzum kvoidoi. We know that any happenings which takes place, how does happenings taking place? There's a wind, the wind blows and brings clouds, and the clouds suck in the vapor, moisture of the earth, and it carries moisture and it gets overloaded and it drops rain. Okay, then we have rain. So we say, okay, I got rain, but the rain is together with many mikrim. There's many coincidences had to take place. So obviously, no mikra, no incident could take place unless there's a river. There's a multiple of action, multiple of things which happened in this until this mikra, until this coincidence came into existence. But one thing is definite. There must be one essence, there must be one power which plans and decides, which is the actual etzem, the actual movement, and all this mikim, all the coincidence which had built that one rain. Okay? The power who brings the wind, the same power brings the clouds, the same power makes the moisture, the same moisture makes carrying, the same power makes... There must be some essence, some ingredients in all the multiple coincidence which had built that one thing, which is, we call them, rain. And that essence, that power, is Hashem. And obviously, that Hashem must be one. Because if that Hashem would be multiple, again, anything which is multiple, there must be some ingredients which creates the multiple. As we said before, if there is rain, there's a multiple of coincidence, which must be one power of essence which fills this multiple. Again, so, who is that power? Who makes this multiple God? Yes, there is multiple gods, which is all done by one God. This is our Hashem, this is Hashem Echad. Actually, for us it's not important, but this is the, which he wants to bring out, the deeper you understand that it's no way could it be tolerated even in our conceptual mind, even our limited mind, we can't tolerate such a belief that there should be more than one Hashem, more than one creator, more than one power into this world. Because all logic and all nature leads to this absolute, definite, guaranteed recognition that there must be od echot kadmoin, and with everything which is for me. So who is Bora Chaboyre? In here, Kodesh Baruch Hu dictated, he is the etzem v'amikre. He is the essence, and also the insulosis again, and midam midosam, which nothing could be measured by etzem kodesh. The kasher is Bora, Chaboyre is Allah, that creator, we call Dimyon, he's above, we call him for all imagination, the erech, and all evaluation, eldova v'yoysam, min haseichum, min hakosu, v'ribe, hanechnes, and etzem misrab mikir lo yoy shetasik etzem kol aboy the midim midas haribur. Im lo yisuper beroy hu echad al koponim. Mipshein bein aroy va'achdas hamtzoi. Im ken ein aboy the yoy sim echad. Vi echad al koponim kmo she'amra chano ein kodesh kashem ki ein biltoho. Just to elaborate again. The essence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu is nothing that it could be. That power which you just sense, which is the essence of his existence, something which has no comparability, that we could compare him, not in quantity and not in quality. That's what Chazal says, Ein Kodesh Kashem, there's no holiness, there's no specialty like a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ki Ein Bilteh, but there's nobody outside of you from whom we could compare you. We can't make you great because comparing you to multiples, because you're not multiple, you're one. And there's no such a thing as one, that you're comparable. We can't take your essence of the existence and say you're great. See, like when you make a product, you say this product is good as gold, as hard as a piece of diamond. So you compare them to something. You want to say that it's valuable as gold, and it's hard. Okay, you want to say it's hard. Diamond is hard. It's hard as diamond. It's beautiful, like shining, like silver. You compare it to something. Hashem cannot be compared to anything, because he is the source of comparing. You compare everything to him to a certain extent. But he cannot be compared to anything else, because if you take all the multiples in the world and all the essence of the existence of the world in together, you still don't come in any way close to Hashem, that you should be able to Hashem to compare. Therefore, there's absolute no imagination. But since he's the source of comparability, that everything is compared to him, obviously he must be the one. Because if he would be a component of many factors, he would not have this quality that he cannot be compared to anything. Because he's put together of something, so there must be some kind of comparability. Go to the final proof of Shvi. If he would have freely be more than one, if there would have possibly be more than one God, so obviously call him God, with what is he God, then every one of them could have created his own world. Or every one of them could create his own world. Or we would say, or he couldn't independently create a world, only if the other friend God helps him. If we would say everyone could create the world, Haboyre Acher Noisaf, so it means the other creator, Noisaf, is in excess, because we don't need him. If one God, if we would take the quality of this multiple gods is that every God could create a whole world, so obviously we say that the other God is not needed, because if I could create the whole world, why do I need this other God? So this one extra God is excessive, it's not needed. It comes im kol echad mem yochel, if everyone could create the whole world alone, haboy the acher noisav, the other God is excessive. Mit v'shechel, because I could create alone. Ve'im tzerech lezosa, we don't need him. Ve'im lo yishlam adol kim b'schabram, in the Vudya said that no God could create the whole world alone, they need each other's help. Then el echad mem choy v'shlem, because neither one of them has the full capacity, ability to create a world. He has got absolute power. Everyone is needed and everyone is short in completing the job. Everyone is weak. Everything which is weak has limitation to his power. If he's weak, what is he weak? Means he can't do anything he wants. If he can't do anything, he's limited. Everything which is limited has boundaries. Anything which has boundaries, mechubar is combined. If not, it won't be boundaries. Everything which is combined is a renewal. It came to existence. And everything which has been renewed has somebody who renewed him. It's obviously back to the one Hashem in Kim comes out. Hachalosh, the one who is weak, cannot be the one who was always there. Because the one who was always there could never be short midov and anything. But it's Torah Lezel is lost. He doesn't need help from anyone else. In Kenin Abori El Smechat, so no way could Abori be more than one. It's not Shach to say there's more than one creator, because can he create independently a world? Why is the other God needed to it? And can he have out another? And he's not God. It would have been possible more than one. And let's say if there was more than one and everyone could create the world, there would be machloikas. How do you create the creatures? Nothing would be complete. If we would say that when we find when we do see the entire world, all are built in one design, and all are the motion of the world, all moves in one motion. Nimtzas comes out, we call chilek machlokov. Every part in the part of the world, when Ishtana Imadoyris has not been changed with time. The opposite to the evolutionist claim, that time makes things change. We do see all the motion, all the world, all the movements have not been changed, all those. Nadab, when we see that, we will know Shioitza Maniga Echo, the creator, and the one who lead him is one. It goes all in one design, one plan. Lo Ishana Masei, he will never change his deeds. But the Yachli Haragosa Zilosa, he will never change. Dan Hoge, otherwise, as he created him, Kumo Shomana, the Posik says Yeshaya, Miko Moini Yikro Vegideo Verichele, who is like me, who will call and he will tell you, and you will compare him to the Erichele, you're going to compare him to me. You will see anything in this world which you evaluate and analyze all leads back to the original one creator in one design in one purpose, all falls in that line. Vama David HaMelech says, Lo'ilam Hashem, forever HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hu, Yubayetz Nisa V'Shamayim, stands in heaven. It means, L'doir V'doir Eminosecho, and for all generations is this trust in you, Kananto Eretz, you had established the world, the Talmud understands. direct the opposite. You can see here, Mama, she puts today the opposite to the evolutionist who tried to think. David HaMelech says, Le'olam, forever, the voice of Hashem is stamped and ingrained, engraved in heaven. And nature of earth, the Munas and Kananta Eretz Hasam, the seed, on what principle the ground stands, the earth stands, is Doir Doir. For all generations, I'm going to say, see that it's faithfully to continue, and there's no radical changes in different orientation going. We see the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands all the creatures. No world, no hanhoga, no leadership could be an ongoing, continuous, complete leadership in one style. Only if it would be united with one advice and one purpose. Like a man, a nefesh beguf, the neshama and a guf, acts. How does it react? Usually a man, he acts according to his behavior. And you see in the behavior of a person, you see the person. And usually the person does not change. Even he makes a certain temporary change, but it always leads back to his original nature, what he is. And the same thing is in nature. In a Melech B'mdin, see a certain king, a certain government. A government who leads, and this is the style of the king, everything goes according to this style. You could recognize it. Same thing when you look at nature, you see the way the world goes on, all the generations, and you see all leads according one. See, there's one Hanhoga, there's oneness in this world. From my Aristo, the Sifra Binyan Yichud, even Aristo is mentioning in his book, when he speaks about the Yichud, of the oneness, Ein Toiv Birvois Haroshim. There's no goodness if there's multitude heads. Achorosha Echot. It must be only one head. You know, a man has two hands, has two legs, has two kidneys, and has many kishkas. But the head, he must be one. If there would be two brains, it would be schizophrenic. It couldn't be something, anything else is good in multiples, because multiples makes it that more powerful. There's an army. What makes the army good? There's many soldiers. But there must be one general. There must be one head. As much multiples is good, but not when you bring them to the rush. When you bring it to that, there's no such a thing as good in the head as one. Because one, there's a coordination of everything. Then it's called as multiple. So obviously the world, you see, as you go back to the leadership, you see everything leads to one. And that's, again, another proof that it's not logical. So not that we need it, but obviously the Chayim also the Shita, that to know Hashem Echad, Hashem is one. Now, how do we bring it down on day-to-day in our avodah? Day-to-day, how does it beneficial with Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad is? That we do see in our life multiple of ways the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu leads. One day a person is rich, the other person is poor. One day a person is healthy, one person is sick. One in a good mood, one in a bad. One thing's happening, one is happening dead. Now, if you would tolerate in your mind, even for a little bit, that it comes from different sources, this multiple, this contradictive events which is happening to you, then you could never make peace with it. You would always have problems. So why should I be loyal to this force who makes me to be like that? Let me go to this force. You always try to escape the situation and not try to accept the situation as one ingredient of the multiple of the design of you, which builds you and corrects you and makes you great. By being self-convinced intellectually, self-convinced, that everything comes from Echad, then you will automatically, naturally accept happily all the events which is happening to you, good or bad, equally alike, because you know all of these things is one design, one plan, and this is called the Yisurei Me'ahava. This is one of the highest madrigas. The Gaon says, no Torah, no mitzvahs could bring a person to the level of shleimus, to the level of completeness, as to be mekabel Yisurei Me'ahava. Why? Because no way can you be mekabel Yisurei Me'ahava if you don't absolutely live the concept of Hashem Echad. And therefore, the understanding of Hashem Echad is an absolute necessity. So anything which happens, you go back, Hashem, I know this is one other part in my overall system which you created, which is good for me. The fact I don't understand, thank God I have a God which I don't understand. It's a little bit bigger than I am. You wouldn't want like to have Hashem that you understand him totally, because then it would be a very limited Hashem. It's only as big as your capacity is of understanding. Mm-hmm. So one day you will find out how did it help this little thing for you. So therefore it's so important to understand it. Omer Shlomo, Shlomo Melech said, "Bepesha Eretz, Bepesha Eretz." What is the sin of the world? Rabim Sareo, because there is multiple ministers, multiple leaders. What? This is called democracy. When you see chaos, anarchy in a government, because of democracy, there's multiple leaders. You respect everyone, so you zigzag, and that makes anarchy. And this makes lawlessness, because you could see in the Torah. In the Torah concept, no government. If we don't see in the Torah, in the Tanakh, in by the Goyim, that the Hashem had made so lekatchila that democracy should lead the world. There always must be a certain leadership. Shloim Malchus, Yiras HaMalchus, there must be kingdom. Monarchy is the right thing. Monarchy is the right, because there must be one person, because there must be one king. And if there is one king, there is law and order, if everyone respects him. And if there's more than one king, if there's no monarchy, it comes anarchy. If take away kingdom leadership, it comes anarchy. If we see democracy is a self-destructive system. As much it looks beautiful because everyone feels that he has his own power. Now, this is actually what we are very much affected. Why there is a tendency that people would love to accept there's more than one God? Because you're Democrat, you want to have a little other, you want to have a little independence, but I'm also a little God, a little bit, give me a little bit, okay? I shall give you a few million credits, but give me one credit, give me one, two. But the minute you go away from this absolute oneness, that's the Pesha Eretz, Rabim Sreh, what is the Pesha Eretz, what is the lowlessness of the earth, is Rabim Sreh, everyone is somebody, everyone is right, a voice of opinion, everyone has his own thing, yes. Everything which we've proved now, maybe I think it's enough. It's enough answers that we should let go the multiple as far as God. As we establish the oneness of Kodesh Baruch Hu, Tidoche Tamas Kol Mishem will be pushed off. The argument, anyone who says Shiyoy Samechot is there's more than one, but that's what you have to know. So obviously we finished now the seventh perek. We brought up the seventh argument point of proving that Shem is one. Perek Shmini, the eighth verse. Ach bir ofne echad amiti. Now we're going to explain what's the difference between what we relate to Hashem one and all the other ones. Yes, go ahead.
Back on the previous point, isn't there also the Sanhedrin part of it? I mean, when we talk about a monarchy, it's not the...
Absolutely not. Okay, good. The fact that Torah says, Ach rabim lahatais. Okay, do the Sanhedrin have the slightest freedom against Torah? They haven't got the slightest freedom against Torah. Everything is governed by Torah. The constitution of Judaism is Torah. However, Hashem made so specially that the Torah is not always clearly specifying his intention. Specially, purposely. Kodesh Baruch Hu could give a Torah that every point is covered 100%. Just like nature covers every point 100%. See, very interesting. Take nature. Nature takes care of himself. Right? Nature takes care of himself. The body of a person takes care of every need of a body. Every need of a body. If you're hungry, it needs food, it lets you know, and you eat, and it takes care. We don't need Sanhedrin, we don't need policemen, we don't need who knows, we don't need anything. It's an automat. An automat which feeds everything. If something goes wrong, then you're sick, then you need a doctor. But nature is, where does nature come from? Torah. Torah is fully self, it takes care of everything. However, sometimes certain laws, Kodesh Baruch Hu purposely had omitted the clarity in the Torah, in order should be given over to the counsel of the Sanhedrin, and there should be Achra Rabbi Lahatos. Because in certain, since the Kodesh Baruch Hu runs the world through Torah, and there is person a certain diun, certain point which has to be clarified. And sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu lets things qualified like this, or sometimes like the Shama B'Shillim. How could he oppose each other and the both of them are right? We have only one halacha. So now we pass in the B'Shillim. She will come across the Shama. So how the Kodesh Baruch Hu leads down one Torah, one desire, one rotzen. But the one rotzen is, now it comes out, as he explained it many times, there's one sun gives only one light, but it's multiple windows, and every window has its own color. Now, in these times, we need the red window. This time, we need the blue window. This one is the green window. So therefore, Chazal, one Chazal is red, one Chazal is green. By the way, Mrs. in Kabbalah, these colors have all this meaning. This is all in in the middles, where it comes out. So Bishamai was Gevura, Mesila was Chesed. There's times that we have to lead the world with Chesed, but where does Chesed come from? This one Hashem. Where does, there's times which Gevura leads, Gevura where it comes also from with the one Hashem. The Hashem is still one. It fills down into multicolors, and once a color right, once a color right. And once there is a situation when there's a switch has to take place, and for one person like this and one person like that, so in that area, Kodesh Baruch Hu purposely withdrew the clarity of the Torah and he gave it over to the Sanhedrin. Who are the Sanhedrin? They, and where did they come? Where does their opinion come from, by the way? Does it come from the democratic, I believe so should be? You could never be a member of the Sanhedrin. Every one of the Sanhedrin, he takes his viewpoint from the Torah the way he sees Torah. Not because he wants to see so. And why does he so see this way the Torah? Because Hashem wants him to see this way the Torah. Because this is the way Hashem filters down the Torah, his desire to us. So when you come with a Shaila, and there's no clear-cut answer in the Torah. So why? Because Hashem wants to get a certain specific answer to you. So Kodesh Baruch Hu sends you up to the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin, all of them learn Torah with a certain objectivity. They're not subjective at all. They learn Torah with their own way, all decide the old Kodesh and Torah, and they're totally purified from all selflessness. And they all learn this halacha. Now this deal is being put in front of them. And there is an account taking. So Hashem brings down his desire, the way your answer should be, according to them. They are the glasses through Hashem filters down their rotzen in one of the system of how you make an account is Achre Rabim. But the Achre Rabim also comes all from Torah. It doesn't come from them. Nothing at all. Therefore, it's a very interesting halacha. If there is a count, and there was a person was caught, was brought down to the Sanhedrin because he killed somebody. Bezin, which is said, Kula Zakai. Kula Chayev. Zakai. Imagine it, 72 Bezin. And all of them said, guilty. Hashem says, you don't kill him. I will take care of him. Why? Because if there was one ruling by all of you, okay, I don't need you. And he cannot be killed because of your ruling. He cannot be killed because of your ruling. He's been killed because of the Torah. However, if Hashem made so that it should be a subject of question, and therefore I created the institution which is called Sanhedrin, that I want the answer to come out to this question through the Sanhedrin, so obviously there must be two opinions. And therefore, Achre Rabim Lahatas, this is Torah. So Hashem says, I want to kill this person. And this verdict comes out through the Sanhedrin. But if you're Sanhedrin, all of you say he is guilty, who needs you? It's a clear Torah. If it's a clear Torah, I don't need Sanhedrin. So he cannot be killed because the person could only be killed through Sanhedrin. You took away the whole reason of, if it's something, we don't need Sanhedrin to tell us what Shabbos is. We don't need Sanhedrin to tell us what Shabbos is. We don't need Sanhedrin to tell us what kosher is. If it comes halacha, it comes questionable, and then you go up to Sanhedrin because Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to filter down his desire to Sanhedrin. But they haven't got no independent freedom. The Sanhedrin, for anyone, now what will happen? What will happen? Very interesting. What will happen if the Sanhedrin? There's a Sanhedrin of 23, and they're down on the dealing of Osher, and 22 said. Said kill him. 22 said kill him. 22 said kill him. And one of them say don't kill him. Okay? What's with the galocha? Kill him. But the one who said don't kill him. Why did he say don't kill him? Because he, with his evaluation, his Torah, his Das Torah is don't kill him. So obviously he thinks his Das Torah is right. He could swear on his Das Torah. So what does he do? He says, listen, I know that he shouldn't be killed because that's the reason I say don't kill him. So, if 22 say to kill him, I know what I'm going to say. I'm also going to say kill him. Then he's not going to be killed. My Das Torah is going to be imposed on him. He's not allowed to do it. Because this is my Das Torah. Now what happens? I'll show you a point, to what extent Sanhedrin hasn't got any independence. They can't impose their wishes at all. Suppose I sit in the Sanhedrin. And I'm in the jury of Sanhedrin, and I see there's 23 of us, or 72 of us, 71 of us, and everyone, 70 of them says he has to be killed. And for me, he comes out, he's zakat, he shouldn't be killed. So obviously, my aloha, my Torah tells me as a member, I have to say what my Das Torah says to acquit him. He shouldn't be killed. Now, if this wouldn't be a Teiridiger order, if this would be a personal account that I believe he shouldn't be killed and I have to do everything to preserve him, I would say, listen, I could save him. All I'm going to say, like everyone else says, kill him. It's going to be Dor Shekula, it's Bezen Shekula Chayef, it's going to be all of it. Then he's not going to be killed. And that's exactly what I want. He shouldn't be killed. You're not allowed to say it because this is not the Asteira. Don't manipulate. So show you to what extent the Sanhedrin, it's not a political thing which people put their own opinion and they impose their own verdict, what they feel. No, they in every little thing, they bound their hands to the Torah. You're in Sanhedrin, you have to say you're the Asteira. Don't look what's going to come out. If your verdict says he shouldn't be killed, say you shouldn't be killed. I bet the fact that you say you shouldn't be killed will kill him. That's Ratzon Hashem. But if it's you desire not to kill him, you will manipulate. You say don't kill him. If you don't kill him, he's not going to be killed. Or kill him. Say, kill him. And go against yourself. This also mitzvah sheker tircha. So it shows you the Sanhedrin is absolutely not a democratic at all. Sanhedrin is a tool in the hands of Hashem. A tool in the hands of Hashem. The way Hashem filters down his Ratzon to us. Yes, to the answer desk.
Well, pretty much on that point about democracy, I was saying is there a distinction to be made between the Jewish world and the non-Jewish world? That's one question. But today we're living basically in a non-Jewish world. Well, we have a democracy here. Everybody says, well, you know, this is good. You know. Are you saying that's really not in front of the Jewish world? They should, the whole world should have a point like we say, you know, we have to go to a Rav, or we have to go to have one key to have a Torah. That's it. What about for the world at large? We'd like. I'm reminded of the thing like the, I think it was the author of it, about Napoleon and the Tsar. No, didn't want to, Napoleon had to go with the Tsar. Why? Because he was afraid of all of this too much freedom. Does that type of a thinking apply today in where we are today? You're not talking about that situation.
You could give your answers. Which system in the world, anarchy, monarchy, or democracy had more affected the Jews to the worst, to the bad? Which system had more destroyed the Jewish people? Democracy and freedom or monarchy, which was leadership? Which had affected more the Jewish people? Which ruined more the Jewish people?
Ruined?
Yeah. Democracy.
Maybe the end of, maybe we don't know what tomorrow is. Maybe this situation is going to lead to Mashiach. Maybe this situation is going to lead to Mashiach.
Yeah, definitely it's going to lead to Mashiach, because we want to wrap in a way, there's nothing left.
Right, so
okay, but I'm talking as far we do to you. You met Hashem, you have your family, you have children, okay? And you have a choice to send them out to two countries. And you have to preserve the Yiddishkeit and everything. Where would you send them? And that was actually what you mentioned. That was actually the dispute between the Baal HaTanya and the Mendel Rimenever. The Gdol Yisrael were divided at the time when it was the war between Napoleon, the Tsar Nikolai. Who should win? So Mendel Rimenever, which many members of group said Napoleon should win because we had enough tzuris and we should utilize the freedom which Napoleon wants to give to build Yiddishkeit. And Baal HaTanya says, yes, but it's never going to be like that, and it's going to ruin more Yiddishkeit than we could build. Democracy is a very, take America. No question, if you would have taken all Gedolei Yisrael and transplant them from the beautiful stage of Torah which they had, and the power and the attention which they had, and bring them all of a sudden over to America, and you should fully, in one speed, utilize all the koichos to build Yiddishkeit, to utilize democracy, would be a wonderful thing. But Lamaise doesn't go like that, because democracy, after all, freedom to this wise person is pray for the freedom of your government. Unity, the complete and the authority. The being is part of the authority of your Malchus. If not the fear of Malchus. Ish esrei chaim b'lo'o. And one would swallow up alive the others. Don't you see this is exactly happening? Now the fact today there's no Amos Malchus, there's no fear of government, there's no Shloim Malchus. Nobody's afraid of anyone, anything. What are the concepts? Is it? We are just like a person is wild. And a wild animal, you have to settle him with the rope and to make use of him. If not, he's destructive. You're not always realize that you're wild animals. So I would rather compare you're a bull. Nice, everything nice until you show him something red. in the democratic world, there's too many red flags. And just show for this man, for this wild man, something red, he gets crazy, he gets wild, he does have absolutely no control. So you need something to hold him, and that's, and in the world of democracy, nothing which could hold him. Okay. Ach perik shmini shara yichud. Ach bir afna yichud amiti. In order to explain the old sides, all parts, what is called echad amiti, the absolute one, the echad oiver, and the only the passing one, which is considered one because it's the essence of the one, and echad oiver I would call him the circumstantial one. It's not the essence of one, it's the circumstance that makes it one, but could be very easily nullified to become number one. Like I would say, there's echad and there's rishon. There's one and there's the first. Now, one is one. First is only first as long as it's first. But once you put, here I put in the first chair. So put it, as long as there's only one chair, that's the first chair. The minute I put the other one, I put one before that, it's no more the first. He remains as he is, and he could just take away his title of first. To make, we say, the one that we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I made a division between one and first. That's easy, even our own mind. But he makes the same division between one and one, between the one which we apply to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we say Hashem Echad, and between the Echad, which we call Echad. She'echad, the number one, one, Shem Nigzar, this comes out from Achdus, this comes out from unity. Where does Echad come? It's very in Yiddish, you know, in Loshon HaKodesh, in Hebrew, every word, every expression has a root where it comes from. And if you want to know the essence of the word, evaluate and analyze the root where it comes from. Where does Echad come from? Echad comes from Achdus. Achdut means unity. Unity means one. So the word Echad, Sheni, means Shni, it comes from Loshon Shnia, duplication. Shnia duplication, Shnia makes two, because already duplicates. This is Shlishi, Shalosh, three, comes from Shlishit, Shlishiya, in a triangle. In other words, not Achdus comes from Echad, not unity comes from one, the Echad comes from Achdus. That's what he says here. So She Echad, number one, Shem is a name, Nigza, which is cut out, Minha Achdus, from unity. And we could use the word one on two things. One of them is circumstantial. The other, it's a passing stage. It's not essence, not always going to remain one. It's only now the mikre, by coincidence, it's one, but it will pass. Hasheni, and the second thing which you could call him one, is atzmi, which is the essence of unkind, which remains, which never is going to be taken away. Who are meeting? This is the true one. Express echad amikri, but also the one, the circumstantial gamken who al shnei enyonim is also divided in two sectors. Even the not real one, the circumstantial is also as two. Echad mehem, the one of them nireh bo haribu the klal v'akibut. One of them you could say the multitude and the inclusiveness and the collectiveness. Kesug echad ashu koyle minim hal, just like one kind. We call them one kind, like we call them the mankind. There's one mankind. Okay, there's only one mankind, there's not two mankinds. Now the one mankind is but put together by many, many people. The Kesuk Echad, she like one kind, as she called a minim rabbi. The Kamina Echad, just like how called Ishim rabbi, like mankind. The Kiisha Echad, like one man. Ham Chuber Machalokim rabbi, like man who is put together for many parts. The Ketzova Echad, like one army, a called Anoshim rabbi, which is inclusive, many soldiers. Komreini, like we said, Kor Echad, like we also say in measurement, Kor Echad, the Hin Echad, the Roive Echad, the Litre Echad, like 1 ton, 1 pound, 1 ounce. Now, what is 1 pound? 1 pound is 16 ounces, right? So that makes it a pound. So you have multitude numbers which makes one. Many, many builds one. We call Echad and Kor Echad, and every one of those type of ones are inclusive many other things. You say, Kor Echad and Echad, you call it 1 pound, like 1 ton. 1 ton is 2,000 pounds. So 2,000 pounds makes 1 ton. So if you call it 1 ton, it's really not 1 ton, it's really 2,000 pounds. But you, you call 2,000 pounds together as one ton. But the one in himself, no, is actually a name which incorporates many in it. All of this which you mentioned, we call him one, but the only one we call him, it's a borrowed name. Because the things which this name is collecting, the old one, if you have 200 Americans, 200 million Americans, this makes one American nation. But what is an American nation? What is one American nation? One American nation is the meaning of 220 millions of private citizens. The Nikri says it's called Rab, there's many things which is called Vodim Rabim. It could be called one because it incorporates all of them under this one umbrella, and it's called also Rab because it has a lot of people underneath this umbrella. However, Kashi Spordiat Vodim Ahem, this boy, the minute they will get dispersed and they're going to be go everyone to his own, Yomekolechad Mechad, and we'll call everyone. Okay, there's one American nation. What is the one American nation? 220 million private citizens. But every one private citizen is called one, but you are one man, you are one American citizen himself. So there's 220 million ones getting together and creates one American nation. So obviously you see that one is not an absolute one, that one tolerates in himself 220 million other ones, which is the one person. Now that one person is also only one person, which is actually put together from 613 organs. Now once you take off an organ, it's one organ, you have only one heart, you only have one right hand, it becomes a one hand, and that's one hand again, it's five fingers, and every finger is one finger. See, you spin off always the one of the one, so you can see that the original one could be cut off to pieces, and eventually it evaporates and gets diluted, and it's normal. So this is only a temporary one, a borrowed one, which you call one. It's not echod amiti, it's not an absolute one, which is undividable, unseparable, it's all unity, absolute, no, it's a borrowed name to collect. All these ones which you just mentioned are all nothing more than coincidental. The echad mitzad, he's one of one side. The rav mitzad is multitude of the other side. Like we say numbers, so numbers are the same thing. You have 1 to 10, then comes 10. You have only 10, 20. Now what is 10? Is one number 10, but that 10 is put together from 9 detailed numbers. Everyone has it himself. There's another type of these coincidental ones who will say one man. A man which does not multiply. He did not incorporate other men who look like him. He's actually himself has multitude, but as he's been put together, the man is put together from different combinations, different elements. Otherwise, there is a one which collects together many like him. As I said before, many numbers collect in. So every number is a number for himself. Many people makes a nation. Many soldiers makes one army. Every soldier looks like the other soldier. So that's one is combining many like them. They look, everyone is an individual, collects them. Then there is the other one, which is also a circumstantial one. It's like one man, which is put together from different organisms, where every organ is a different organ and different elements. He has a material, biological part of himself, a spiritual part of himself. He has the essence of the man, it's coincidental. In this one, which is one man also, is one who receives existence and elimination. The man gets eliminated one. And he's been, it could be predivashino. He also could be different, it could be collected together, it could be fallen apart. And he could exchange himself and he could incorporate himself with others. Imken comes out haribui. It's multiple elements which is in a man that actually deserves him to give him a name of one man. What makes one man a man? He's one man because he has this collected elements in himself, in this collection of combination makes a man man. So that one man should be able to call a woman depends taking all those different elements which makes a man man, and you bring them together, and that makes him to become one man. So obviously, it's a one which has been built by different elements in himself. Otherwise, what he tries to say, and why is it so important for us to know, I don't know yet. When he's evaluating the non-true one, not the opposite of Yisei Hashem Echad, the one which we know one, which is a coincidental one, which is not the essence of one, and he said those are two kinds. There's a one which is put together for many equal individuals, as I say, many soldiers make one army. So it's one army. But what is it put together for many soldiers equally alike? Every soldier is just like alike. Every soldier is one in himself. So many ones make other big one, which is the one army. It's one type of a coincidental one. There's other coincidental one. There's one house. What is the one house put together? For many, many elements. There's rooms and there's doors, there's windows and tables. And you take all different elements, put them together, that makes one house. Obviously, there's not 100 doors alone would make a one house, 100 windows would make a house, just like in a man. There's a man, there's physics, there's a spirit, there's a nature, there's this, all these different elements makes one man. But if we ask God, no man will have echad, in the multitude, we're going to make a man, we call Mashiach Pan, and it's Hashem, keneged achdus. But all these things is really keneged achdus. All these ones which you just mentioned, it doesn't matter, they all are coincidental, and the only as the time being they are together, but they easily could be dismantled. The minute the army, the soldiers, individual soldiers ran apart and everyone ran to himself, there's no more one army. The combination of the man dies, there's no more one man. What happened? Nothing happened. Had everything really changed and a man dies, what did really happen? Take what is called considered a live man, that is a physical body and is a soul together. The togetherness makes one man. What does it mean dying? The soul leaves the body. The soul is the same soul as it was before. The body is the same body as it was before, except the combination fell apart, it's no more one man. So you see how easily the echad, the one man, is eliminated instantly by not eliminating any of the ingredients which you have put together the one, except the combination has been eliminated. All you have to do is the combination. Okay, we are a minyan. We are a minyan. What is a minyan? We have Baruch Hashem, one minyan. What is one minyan? The sitting here, 10 people learning. It's a minyan, a new thing's happening. The Shekhinah is coming down. Now, what do we have to do in order to dismantle a minyan? Just one person walks out. Now, what happened here? The 10 people are still here. The 10 people are in existence. Nobody had been eliminated except this group. Fell apart. The minute the group fell apart, the minion, the one minion, there's no more one minion. So all of a sudden the one disappeared. That's not one. A one which is depending in elements, in status, in cooperation, and things like that. And all you have to do is just say, that's number one. That's called all Echad HaMikris, coincidental one. Echad HaOiver, it's a passing one. A one which cannot maintain his oneness, he has not his own existence as one. It's one because we elements put ourselves together, we made that one. The minute you walk away, it's number one. We echad al derech avore, this is only a passing one, loyal derech emes. Sim lip cholohovin, it says. Put your heart to understand it. Now, why is it so important to take this echad over? Maybe the echad amiti, you take all the paths of Hashem. But even the echad over, the circumstantial one, is putting it in all. There's two different circumstantial ones. One is put together from one, put together one minion, and then the everyone. And himself is put together from many different ingredients, which by the combination makes that one to exist. And the minute you just pick up, yes.
Could be that one is homogenous, and each one has an advantage. One is homogenous, and the other one is unique. Like the one that has all the parts and all parts together, that has an advantage that it's homogenous. It's one, and they're all alike. One. So you see, there's nothing different about it. So that's real one. There's an aspect.
But it's not real one. It says to me, it's supposed to be one.
It has an advantage of oneness that you might think the other one doesn't have. That's put together of different parts. But the one that's put together of different parts is also unique. But then, according to Baruch, has both those elements that he's maybe
actually
and unique.
And I think he explains because he mentioned it before. There's echad hamurkav, echad hamishutav. Murkav means a one which is combined. And there's one which is incorporated. One which is built through combination is that you take different elements and put them together. That makes one. Then there's one which is came together through incorporation. It's pshat. You're not markiv. You're not combining different elements. You take the same elements, only incorporating them under one umbrella, and that makes it one. It's two different passing ones. One through incorporation, one through building them together. Achva echad emes. Now that you can answer now is from what is the true one? You omer gam kashnepon. You could also explain two ways. Now we can maybe understand why he had to give us the example of two passing ones, because he makes the echad emes, the true one, also to two illustrations. Echad mema machshove. There's one which is in thought. Hashem in the second one, the true one, is bepoil, is in reality. Hamachshove hu echad aminyoni. In thought, what is the one? Is echad aminyoni. The echad which you count. The beginning of every counting, in the beginning of every counting, the root of every counting. The one which you count, 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, that one, when you count numbers, you speak about multitudes in numbers, which is in thought, and take the one in the definition of thought, and you start with the one, Hisheresh kol minyan tchilosai. It's the beginning of the root. The tam echad aminyon is us the similar tchila. It's always usually a sign of the beginning. She ain't tchila tonight. There's no one before. You call tchila mitzvah because every beginning is true. Every true beginner tikor echad will call one. K'moshenem, I like the pasuk says. Ve'yere ve'yiboy ker yom echad. There was day, there was night, and there was day. Yom echad. One day. Instead of being called, them call yom rishon, the first day. Okay, now, Hoytzia Beloshin Echad, he mentioned this day in one day, not in first day, Mipshe Echad Shem Leschil, because the one is the name for beginning, She'e Lefenei Eschil, which has no, nothing before it. Because she's Shaina, when you duplicate that one, you call it Shaini, it's been called, the second is called Shaini. Now, the creation hasn't came in 6 days. So the first is called Yom Echad, one day. The second day has been called how? Yom Sheni, the second day. You realize what's happening here? In grammar, it should have been called, if you call the second, third, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi, second, third, fourth, the first should be called first. The first day should be called the first day. This is the first. I mean, it should go in grammar. Why is this called Yom Echad one day, and then you call the second, third, the second? Well, it's called Yom Echad one day, and then there is 2 days, and there is 3 days, so it's called the second day. Why is it called second day? Now, suppose I bring in chairs into this house, into this room. I fill these chairs and rooms, and I'm going to number them, the first, second, third chair. So what am I doing? I'm bringing a chair from the outside, and I bring it into this room. And then I bring a second chair from the outside, and bring it into the room. Then you can say there's one chair and the second chair. You say, this is the first chair, and this is the second chair. Why do you say this is the first chair? Because the chair existed before you brought them into the room. It happened to be, the chair is a chair. Independent, is it in the room? Not in the room. All you did, for me, bringing the chair from the outside into this room, it became the first chair. What's happened if there's no chair whatsoever? There's no chair whatsoever. The chair doesn't exist. And I have to fill in the room with chairs, and I have to create chairs. So, I'm making the first chair. Then I wouldn't say this is the first chair. This is one chair. This became one chair. Because at the time when I made the first chair, there was only one chair. There was no outside. There's no other chairs. Now, the second chair which I create, because this is the second chair to his creation. If the first chair is in existence, all I do, bring him from the outside to the inside, I would say this is the first chair in the room, and this is the second chair in the room. Because the number goes, happened to be here, but that does not apply to the chair. You just brought him into the room. But you, if you happen to create the chair, there was no chairs whatsoever, and you create chairs and fill the room, then you wouldn't say this is the first chair, this is one chair, because at the time when this is first, there's only one chair. This is one chair. Now when I make a second chair, this chair happened to be the second, because if there is already one, this is already second. Now, the second, what's the difference between the title of second and the title of the first? The first gets its title one. It's one chair, because that proves he's the first one and the only one, and there's no second, there's no third, and there's nothing before him. It's the essence of one. Where the second doesn't get a name, two chairs, because the action two is already second. What does it mean two? Why can you credit the chair two or second? Because they happen to be a first. So he's already depending on something else. He's already falling back on the previous one. So the only one who is entitled to be called one is only the first one, the absolute one, who was in same thing was with the days. The four world, there was nothing. There was no time, there was no day, there was nothing on the world. And Kodesh Baruch Hu started creating the world, and he made the first day. It's not sharp that this is the first day, because if you say for it like there is a day, but the day some other is on the Mars, on the moon, it brings it down to this world, so it becomes the first day in this world and becomes the second day in this world. It was no world, there was no other things, there's no days, there's nothing there. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu made the absolute day, the first, it became one day. The second already is the duplicator of this one, so the second day is called already Yom Sheni. So this is called Echad, the absolute one, Echad Amiti, which is real one. But this is also b'machshava, only b'machshava, because this is nothing but b'minyan. It's only in counting you call him one. There's no somebody advancing, never for him. It's only in counting, because now once we have days, okay? All days are the same now. We have every Sunday is a Sunday, every Monday is a Monday, every Thursday. And we call Sunday, today we call Sunday the first day of the week. We don't call him it's one day. also it's the first day of the week, Yom Rishon. You call them today, Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos. You don't say Hayom Echad B'Shabbos. You say Hayom Rishon B'Shabbos. And tomorrow we say Hayom Sheni B'Shabbos. Why don't you call them Yom Echad B'Shabbos? Because this day is already a regular, ordinary day. We only it goes in order, so you say it's first. But when it came to creation, it was called Yom Echad, really one. It's called Echad Amiti because he's entitled to be called one because he's absolute one. There's no other day. There was no days before that. That's called Echad B'Machshavah. The one is a name to beginning. There's nothing before it. Because you shine, if you duplicate him, you call him Shen, and then you call him second because of his duplication. And by the way, Losh Nakoy, the Shnee is Losh Shnee. Shnee means duplication. If you turn them, you call him Shlishi. Then Ava Sora till 10. And then the 10 goes back to 1. Then it goes back to 100, then 11 to 1000. And tackles them into endlessly. Comes out the old principle of counting, the old murkav, the old combined from one. What makes 10, which is 1? What makes 110 or 100? What makes 100 100? Because there's 100 ones, and 100 ones makes 100. And then 10 hundredths makes 1,000, and 10,000, 1,000 makes 1 million. But the time Shakarosi Machshavi, why did I call them? That this is only a one in thought. It's the true one, but it's only machshava. Because counting is not, even if you count 1, 2, it's not tangible. Abul Yusuf could be masik with machshava. You could only accomplish it in thought. In other words, if there's two cups here, okay, and you say, this is one cup and this is two cups, and this is the first cup which was here, this is the second cup which is here. This one and two, first and second, is only for us to relate to the cup, but the cup himself does not say it's one or the first. No difference between this and this. It's not chushis, it's not tangible. It's not ingrained in the object. We apply a number, a thought, to this object. We call them like that. So therefore I call it Echad Amit. It's true one, but Machshav, it's only in the thought, but it's not. Actually, when you see a Sunday, or we see Yom Rishon, Yom Echad, Yom Sheni, so that was absolute one. We call him one. And the other way, we're going to call second. But the day is the same duplication as the second and the third. You don't see it in the day that it is the first and it is one. We relate. We know this is one. Therefore, we call it Arba Machshavah. Achamonu. Abul Yusuf Machshavah. Achamonu Murgash Bechushim Agashmim. But the object, if you can't, this is ready. You could feel it. Anything which is already in the object himself that you have to be able to feel with all your senses, with your five senses. What is the second type of one, which is the essence of one, Nitzuf, which is actually reality? Okay, we gave an explanation why we could call one day the first day, we call him one day, because that was one day, there was no other. But what is actually the one which is in reality one? What will make one in reality one? He inyan ashelo yisrabe, think which will never multiply, v'lo yishtane, will never change, v'lo yischalef, will never change his attitude, v'lo yisuper, v'midah v'midah sagashmi, could never be measured with any material yardstick, v'lo yisasigeyu, v'lo yavoyu, v'lo yhefse, v'lo yisichlo. Nothing will affect this object. Not existence, but no elimination, with no destruction. V'lo yi'otek, will never be removed from one place to a place. V'lo yinu'at, will never shake. V'lo yidmel dobo, it could never be compared to anything. It's one kind of a time, an independent one, that no outside factors could affect this one. This is called the absolute one amiti, which no outside factor could have any kind of an influence at it one. V'lo yidmel dobo, nothing could be compared to him. V'lo yishtatafim dobo, nothing could be incorporated with him. It couldn't be counted with others. Shall call upon him from all sides, from all angles, who Echad Emes is absolute one. We Shoyresh, and he is the beginning in the root L'chol Mitzvah for all multiplications. All the other multiplications comes from this one. Kasher Ovar Midibarein, as we said before. Ki Achdus, as we explained in the previous things. Ki Achdus, the absolute unity, Ilas per Ribu, is the cause of the multiples. If there is multitudes, and I think we mentioned it before, if there's multitude of people, where do multitude of people coming from? From one. Okay, so you have 100,000 people. How many 100,000 people come from how many parents?
Parents
coming coming less. It almost goes like a pyramid. Like people go almost like a pyramid. Right? Take multitudes of people, take hundred thousands of people, and take. We have 100,000 children. Go to a school. Take 100,000 children. Let's count the parents. There's 20,000 parents. Let's count their parents. There's only 2,000 parents, or 5,000, or 4,000 parents. Let's count their parents. There's only 3,000, and 1,000, and all one. And it has to come to one, to the original pair. So everything goes like a pyramid. That says Haribui, all the multiples comes mia achdus, must come originally to one. And this is one of the proofs. There's only one Hashem, and there could only be one, because you didn't see opposite. We don't see an opposite pyramid. Nothing goes like this, and nothing goes like a square, like nothing multiplies like in a straight line. All the multiplications always zeroes in to a one-point pyramid. So it's a ribui, all the ribui, all multiplication comes from achdus, comes from, because the achdus is the source. Lekol misrabe, kasher v'mitzvah, ki achdus ilas ribui. Only achdus one is the cause of mul. Ve'en le'echad amita tchila v'letachos. Now the true one could never have something behind him. Ki kol ma'ashesh lo tchila v'sichlo. Anything which has a beginning is a v'sichlo. Min adin shetikon survive after, then it has to be eliminated. It's not the one. The kol mashit the kol survive efsed of anything which could tolerate existence and elimination mishtara has to change. A shinun kineged anything which is changeable kineged achdus does not tolerate the word of unity. It's not one. Im keni yosemek must be more than one. Ki koydem askol is lo sachem v'zeh mischav la ribui. V'chein akav v'chein admus misdabe memikra. And also the mus, the form, the image. Also, what is the image? Take it. You look like him. You must have a like him in order to compare, and that other one is looking. In other words, the absolute one cannot be compared to anyone. Rather, everything else is leading back to compare to him. When we say there's a locus in everything, Chesomash HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes, the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is truth. There's everything in this world could be traced back to Elokus, because everything originates from Elokus. All comparabilities, looking, comparable to this and to this and that. It must have a point, an origin point, where all this comparison started off. There must be a beginning to something, like there is something, and the second looks, of course, more like the first one, and the third is ready to the second to the first. But the first one cannot be compared to anyone. To whom are you comparing? Because he's the first one. He's the first, he's the Rishon Admus, he's the first one to be compared. Anything which could reach any coincidental thing, misrabe, has to be multiple, because if some coincidental could have an influence, there's many other things which could just as well influence it. But there's something which is absolute true, no mikra, no coincidence could reach him. The etzem kvoide b'shumponim could touch him and affect him, and his etzem covered in the beginning cannot be affected. The oimer, if somebody will say, sha'akdus be'echad emes mikra, they have some say the fact that the unity of this echadam is only coincidental. Now we say kinyan achdus be'echadam is el chok asaribu varav mimenu. Kashne saper echad, velo nesaper kinyan afis asaribu varav. Says if anyone wants to try to argue that the one is also a coincidental one, then again you put it back in the category to the multiple numbers. That in the, just like the multiple numbers 2 and 3 and 4 happened to be 4 because it happened to be 4, so you say the 1 happened to be 1, but you say it happened to be, not that it has to be, it's again, it's not a true 1. Anyway, he's just taking it apart for. The Echad Emes lo yisupar v'mida, what for something which is 1 truthfully can never be counted. Shemachevis le'etzim kvoid ribu, v'lo yishinu v'lo chilu v'shimponim, cannot tolerate any kind of remodeling, changing. Now we've finished. This is the difference between the circumstantial one, between the passing one, between the absolute one. And all these things which explain, which could be applied to the absolute one, is only applicable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu possesses all these attributes and all the things that he could be called Echad Emes. He's not depending on any combination, on any recognition and anything. Yes.
Is the word Rishon connected to the word Rosh?
Yes.
Well, the sense case, I'm thinking that it's relative, it's very, very short, it's a relative term. Rishon, head. Sheni, duplication, comes from the head. Like Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
Okay. But after the Echad is not a relative term altogether. It doesn't relate to, you know, or depend on anything else. It's an exclusive term. It's
It's not a counting thing.
That's exactly what he says. That's the other earth. It's not an echad. Don't make mistake that the echad one is an odd number like any other number, just like have three and two, and you happen to have one. No, because the three depends on two. If there's no two, there's no three. The two depends on one. If there's no one, there's no two. The one does not depend on anyone. He's one in himself. He's the beginner and he's the end, and it's not required to have other numbers to have this one, the absolute one. It's not required to have. What is the proof of Kodesh Baruch Hu is that he is the one, the Echad Emes. In Echad Emes, there's no other true one outside of him. Actually, again, this is what we say every morning and every night in Kabbalah Salamach Hashma, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad. Hashem is one. Now, there's one important part to know this. We're not talking philosophy about defining a Kodesh Baruch Hu's one. Because to the extent that we will understand a Kodesh Baruch Hu's oneness, we will borrow the same definition of oneness to us. Because we are just as well one. Not because we have an independent one which competes with Hashem, so because we are a Tzelem Elokim, an image of Hashem. And because we are the image of Hashem, so the echad which we apply to Hashem applies to Mika Amcho Yisrael, who is just like your nation, so Goy Echad Bo'oretz, we're also Goy Echad, a one nation. And our nation within Goy is also as not depending on combinations, that every Jew is a Koy Meshleimah, every Jew is a complete unit in himself. So therefore it's important to know, Shema Yisrael, understand you, Hashem Elokein, Hashem Echad, Hashem is one. You have to understand, what does it mean, Hashem Echad? Only after understanding the meaning of Hashem Echad, the oneness of Hashem, you could really appreciate what does it mean, Mikam Chosel Goy Echad Bo'aretz. Because our Echadness, our oneness, as who is like your nation, Yisrael Goy Echad, is the license to be called one nation, comes from the same one, because we are a Tzelem Elokim, for the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the better you will understand and appreciate the Hashem Echad, to that extent you will receive, you will get, you will earn your self-appreciation of Goy Echad. And therefore, that gives the appreciation of Ahavas Israel, what a Jew is. Because every individual Jew is a Goy Echad, is a complete nation. Lama Nivra Odom Yechidi. Because Baruch Hu created man, one. And therefore, one. Because he had the Tzelem Elokim. All the other creatures has been created to multiple. And therefore, no other creature has the license to be called one, because he was never one. The instant he came into existence through multiples. Two multiples. Where man had been created one. There was one God, and there's one man. And that oneness in the man, that's the Tzelem Elokim which the man has. And as long as the man preserves this value, that I'm one man, and for me alone, the whole world and all these multiples is all made for me, that he became the dignity of a man. Choviv Odom Shenivra B'Tzelem. This goes on Gentiles too. Choviv Odom, says the Mishnah. Loved is the man, respected is the man. Shenivra, that he has been created B'Tzelem with the image. What is the image? That he is one. Where no other creature in this world is one. So when you look at a man, you look at any man, you have to look at the man with a certain respect, that this man alone could be the reason, could be the source, could be the root of creation, the whole purpose of creation. And the bigger the creation is, and the more sophisticated the creation is, the more respected the man is. And this is in direct opposite the philosophy of today's time, of Western culture. The Western culture, today's time, the more we develop the world, the more beautiful the world becomes, the more sophisticated the world becomes, the more worthless the man becomes. Because what do? We sacrifice man to develop this world. Instead of using the world to serve man, we take man to serve the world. The world becomes the man becomes totally the automation which is being invented. All these things, what does it do? It totally disregards man and throws away the man's dignity. And when in athletes, and people build manu, and this was actually the Avodah Zorah of the Dora Flogger. What was the Dora Flogger? The Dora Flogger wanted to worship the world. Wanted to worship the intellect, the wisdom, the power of mankind, but not the man. And Chazal said, the Gemara says, the Medrash has unbelievable stories. When they build a tower, and what was to prove the ego, what man is capable of building. So they build a tower that should reach heaven. So the Medrash says, and imagine they have to pick up a brick, and they have to lift them up 500 feet, in order to lay another layer. And it happened by coincidence, the brick fell off, and it fell down back into the mud. So now you have to work 3 months again until you're going to bring back this take the pyramids, take this heavy stone and schlep them 12,000, tens of thousands of people. Pyramid is the same ego trip as it was the Tower. So the Medrash says every time when the brick fell down, they sat down and they were crying. They mourned. But when a worker fell down and got killed, nobody even gave a tip. So like it's nothing, because we're here to build a thing. When a brick fell down, they sat down, they eulogized, and they cried. But when a man fell down and got killed, because we're building ego, we're building the power of man, but not man. Man is servicing power, but not the opposite. That's exactly what is happening today. When you're taking the world of athletes, okay, we have to win, our game has to win. So if we don't win, we sit down, we cry. The man, let him break his leg, but we have to win. The wars, we sacrifice men, the egotism, the same thing as to making a living. We build homes, we build houses, we buy cars. You have to prove might of person. You sacrifice yourself and your wife and your children. That doesn't count. That doesn't mean we are all here to serve a higher cause. So what do? We take the specialty of man, the echodness of man, the oneness of man, the specialty of man, and he sacrifices himself, dedicates himself to build a certain might, a certain image, which has nothing to do with man. You become actually cannon meat, a cannon flesh, as you used to call it in the wars, just to serve, to deliver it. And if you lost the game, you lost the war, you're devastated. And we have to give our life for that. For what? Everything is made for you. Even the whole world has been created for me, to preserve what? This is the echonet. Now why do... I just show something which is so paradoxically taken, so oppositely taken. But see, in this beautiful, sophisticated world, the more the world becomes sophisticated, man could do something, the more the man loses his value. It's what people will create all kind of destructive things just to increase the pleasure. A better car, and a stronger car, and more house powers, and more everything. Why? Because you have this little man who's only 150, 180, 200 pounds, and he has to go somewhere. He must have 3 tons of steel carrying him 80 miles per hour and endanger himself, endanger many other people. Make sure to fasten your seatbelt. But you must have this fast, speedy car. In order, this man should have what he wants to have, and you sacrifice the whole man for his pleasure, but he has to get fast where he gets. And he has to work, has to be enslaved and work overtime and to make everything just to be able to show off. He has a fancy car and he gets faster, and if he has to go to Europe, he has to get a Concorde. Why do you have to get a Concorde? He has to pay $5,000-$6,000 instead of flying it for $300-$400. Why? Because he has to save 2 hours and 3 hours. And what does he have to do in these 2-3 hours that he's saving? He has to save, he has to make more money in order to be able to pay for the $5,000-$6,000 ticket. It becomes like a vicious cycle, a destructive. All disrespect to the man. Total disrespect to the man. People, we have times now showing the watches, which breaks down the time to those unbelievable slice seconds, and we see times become special, and times is money. And all we do is to save time, and save everything's automated, just to save time, think of it express. And then the end says, so what do you do with the time? To create and to produce even more saving times. So you take times to save times, actually worshipping times. And who is enslaved for that? The man. He takes man's brain, he takes man's time, and he to dedicate him to build instrument to save time. To save time to what? To build even further instrument to save even more time. It's even more time until you fall into the grave and you find out you had no time whatsoever. You gave your life away to save time, and you ended up not using the time at all. That's the unfortunate part. This is unbelievable. This is... I never was on a Concorde. I never was on first class. I could never feel that you have to spend money just for a few hours. You should be sitting there. It's an unbelievable thing. So I was once asked to go to a certain wedding to some rich family in England. And I said, I can't go because I had a sheer. So one of the associates says, please go. I give you a Concorde ticket round trip. I want you to be at the wedding. I give you a Concorde ticket round trip. So I told him, is that so important for you that I should be there? He's spending me a Concorde ticket. So I asked him, how much is a Concorde ticket? Concorde, and around him, it's $5,600. $5,600. So you know what? Give me the $5,600, I got to come. So second, so don't give it to me. So write me a check for Tzedakah, $5,600. I got to come even with the donkey now. So then, as I went with Pan America, it's a very cheap ticket, which was $300. And I was sitting with the other friend on the same plane, went to the same wedding. He says, you know, you're sitting, you're going to a wedding. I'm sitting here, you know, I'm making $5,200 just for saving 2 hours. So the first time I realized how much is worth 2 hours. 2 hours savings of flight, or round trip, let's say 4 hours savings of flight, I'm saving $5,300. I got a ticket for $5,600. I'm coming in for $300. And this extra $5,300, just because I was willing to fly to, you know how much is worth 2 hours? And let's learn Torah. We paid this 2 hours savings. We're going to learn Torah. We both time. I both purchased $5,300. This craziness of people. The people sacrifice for nothing.
מגוון שיעורי כל הלשון נמסרים על ידי מגידי שיעורים ורבנים המשקיעים מזמנם וכוחם ללמד לרבים. אם ברצונכם וביכולתכם לסייע ולתמוך במגידי השיעורים ובמוסדות התורה שבאחריותם, תוכלו ליצור קשר ישיר עם הרבנים. לקבלת פרטי מגידי השיעורים ניתן לפנות למשרדי כל הלשון בטלפון 02-581-6622 או בכתובת דואר אלקטרוני lstrudel@hl.com